Okay, this coming Erev Shabbos is going to be the Shabbos before Parshas Vayera. This coming Shabbos, we'll read Parshas Vayera. I find myself in the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael, and so I am somewhat limited in my ability to provide you with the full Parsha Bishir, but let's realize and focus somewhat differently. Rav Shechter Shalita would often note to us that Makos Bechoros is the only one of the Makos that have mitzvos to remember. Because it was on the night of Makos Bechoros that Paro made the official government declaration that freed the Jews. The mitzvos that recall Makos Bechoros, Pidyon HaBen, and others, Kepetah Chamor, they're not so much intended to recall the miracle involved in the Makkah of Makos Bechoros, but rather to celebrate our gaining independence. Our independence enables us to commit ourselves to total and absolute subservience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Baal HaTanya writes, said Rav Shechter, that it's well known that during the period of Bayis Sheni, that there were many gzeros and harchakos, as opposed to Bayis Rishon. And why was that? So the Baal HaTanya explains that during Bayis Rishon, since the Jews had independence, they were able to be totally committed to Hashem, and so therefore the Yetzer Hara had less control over them. But during the period of the Bayis Sheni, they lacked independence, so that as a result their commitment to Hashem suffered, and therefore there was a much greater need for gzeros, because the Yetzer Hara had a stronger hold on the people. Still, the other makos also give us a chance to see and appreciate Yad Hashem and our Yira Shamayim. And as this week's Parsha presents seven makos, let's present seven ideas as we normally do on a week-to-week basis related to each of the makos listed in the Parsha. So let's start with the makah of Dam. And let's ask ourselves the obvious question, why was Dam the first of the makos that Hashem sent? So Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal explains that when a person has jealousy or desire or a penchant for kavod, hakina, hataiva v'hakavod, it destroys him. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, motzianas adam and ha'olam. When a person quenches that penchant towards these midos through the Torah and Musar, then all is well. However, if the internal mechanisms don't apply, then the external means to handle the jealousy, the taiva, and the kavod will be employed. Says Rav Moshe, this happens in governments especially, where the motives of war and of unrest are most often those of jealousy, desire, and honor. And the result is most often death and theft. And so therefore, in order to change people's midos, Hashem first sent the Egyptians the Makkah of blood. In effect, says Rav Moshe, Hashem was telling the Egyptians that they were people who had blood on their hands all the time, not just when they were actively killing, because their actions were based on their kinner, their taiva, and their kavod. And these actions left blood on their hands and throughout their land. And so the Makkah of Dam was an identification, a process for the Egyptians, says Rav Moshe. Open your eyes, see what you're doing. Then we come to the Makkah of Tzfardea, and Rabbi Lam used to tell us that the early Makos highlighted that which was most important to the Egyptians, that at the same time became the source of their travail and woe. The Tzfardea were a sign of fertility. And so here, the Tzfardea had so much fertility that it threatened the comfort of the Egyptians and their lives. And Rabbi Lam expanded the message, noting that in our own lives, we all have our idols. We have science, technology, etc. And the expansion of each has brought us to a world of anarchy in the extreme of freedom, and pornography in the extreme of free love, and technology and enslavement to it. There's divine irony in all of it, and it's all hinted to and perhaps marked here in the Makkah of Tzfardea. We'll also read about the Makkah of Kinim. Now, the Torah tells us, Vatehi ha-kinam ba'adam u'va-behema, that the Kinim were on man and on beast. Now, why couldn't the Chartumei Mitzrayim replicate this Makkah? So Rashi explains that they had no power on something that was smaller than a barley corn, than a kisoara, right? The Das Kinim offers a different interpretation. They note that unless a magician's foot is on the ground, he has no ability to conduct his wizardry. Now, Rav Matzio Salomon Shalita notes that the severity of this Makkah went so far that Chartumei Mitzrayim a magician in Egypt couldn't find a place to put his foot on the ground. That's how swarmy it was with the Kinim. That's a pretty serious Makkah, and it's something that should not be overlooked, rather simply. We'll talk about the Makkah of Arov, where Rashi in Perek Ches Pasuk Yedzai notes that it was all types of wild animals, bear, buvia, mixed together. Why is it important for us to know that they came together? So Reb Nosson Gestetner explains that the different wild animals became scared of different things. Some wild animals are afraid of fire. Some are afraid of tossed stones. Some are afraid of water. But what scares one type of animal will embolden a different species. And so therefore, that they came in a group meant that the Egyptians were even more helpless in deterring them, since no one proven method of chasing away these wild animals was going to be a possibility for them. And thus, we understand a little bit more what was going on with the Makkah of Aruf. We hit the Makkah of Dever, and Rav Soloveitchik notes that Dever was unique among the Makos insofar that it was the first that shattered the economic and military foundations of the Egyptian empire. The other Makos made the Egyptians uncomfortable. This Makkah made it so that their economy cannot and would not recover. So Paro considered the Jews his property. Hashem showed him that even that which he did consider and own, he couldn't control. And thus this Makkah is the one of Yad HaChazakah. It's the outstretched arm that exposes the danger and the suddenness of catastrophe that's about to strike. It was now that Paro would see the power of Hashem in a more intense, more damaging way. And so therefore we highlight the Makkah of Dever in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. We'll talk about the Makkah of Shechem, the boils. And again, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu Zatzal noted the Pasuk in Devarim in Perek Zion that reminds us that if we keep the mitzvot of Hashem, vaya ekev tishma'un, esa mishpatim ha'ele, so we're also told, v'chod madvei mitzrayim hara'im asher yadata, all the plagues of Egypt that you knew about, lo yisimun boch, they won't be on us. Now what's the discussion about asher yadata that you know about? Didn't we know about all the Makos? Says Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, then in order to make sure that we really understood and knew the intensity of each of the Makos, Hashem allowed us to experience them in Mitzrayim, but for a brief moment. Otherwise, we might look at the shchin and recommend a talc or a salve or a cream for it out of our ignorance. And so therefore, Hashem gave us a moment's experience of the Makkah, that it should stay with the Egyptian, and that would ultimately stay with the Egyptian, so that we would know what it was they were going through, and know that if we follow the mitzvos, we will never experience the same fate. And then, of course, the last one in this week's parasha is the Makkah of Barad, of which we're told, Hayareis Devar Hashem Me'avdei Paro, and in Perek Tes we're told that those who feared the word of Hashem. Now note, it doesn't say the one who feared Hashem, it's who feared the word of Hashem. Why is that so? Because Yira Shamayim doesn't come as a result of shock and awe in a Makkah. It comes from someone listening to the word of Hashem in his Torah. Rabbi Chil Yitzchak Per Shalita, the Rosh Hashiva in Farakwa, would also tell us that the contrast is to Ashelo Shas Libo, if someone didn't pay attention. Says Rabbi Per, not having belief comes from not being open to having it. The opportunities to see Hashem in so many different ways abound us. We just need to be open ourselves up and allow ourselves to be open to it if we are to be successful. That's not only true for the Egyptians, it's true for you and me as well. And so as we are proceeding through life, and as we are proceeding in all our different derachim, we need to learn that which the Egyptians didn't. We have to be among the Yodim, those who know. And Be'ezras Hashem, through our knowledge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that we become Maminim, B'nei Maminim, those who are able to see Hashem in everything we do. Shabbat Shalom to all from the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael.